Check, 1, 2. Check. I'd like to call to order the Design Review Board meeting of February 28th. Can we have a roll call, please?
Thank you. Member Carroll?
Here.
Member Clinton?
Here.
Member Schneider? Absent. Member Shaler?
Present.
Member Sweeney? Member Sweeney?
Here.
Member Whalen?
Sorry. Here.
Vice Chair Smith?
Here.
Chair Branch?
Here.
Thank you.
All right, I'd like to start with item B1, the meeting minutes.
Mr. Chair, if I could bring it to your attention that in the minutes on page 5 under F1, Sharkey's Grill Trellis, there was a motion made and it did not include the findings. However, the findings were provided in the staff report, so maybe you can make it, whoever makes the motion can just include that there were findings that were.
And that was which item?
F1.
F1.
And we will reflect that in the minutes.
All right.
As revised.
Okay. Someone want to make a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Discussion? Anybody else?
And that will include the revision to the motion
the
on
revision?
F1.
To F1. Got it.
Thank you.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And I will abstain because I wasn't here. Item B2, Planning Director Report.
The only thing I have to report is I'm sure members are curious on DRB recruitment, and we have so far not really received any applications that fit the criteria of residents, and so we're still waiting, but this item is being brought to the City Council next month to discuss whether, you know, they want to make some changes to sort of the bylaws, or so just to keep you posted that
basically whether they're going to allow Carl to leave.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying.
And maybe Member Whalen in.
I got you.
And that's all I have.
I had one request of the.
Yes.
There's, I think we all received emails about this meeting that the city is going to be putting on about the planning process.
Yes.
Do you have any more elaboration about what the expectations are from this meeting?
I think the DRB was invited, correct? And it's a consulting firm that's doing a evaluation on process, and they want to have public input and also from boards and commissions. So maybe your experience with on the other side of the counter or perhaps during this process to bring up what works, what doesn't work, it's input to the consulting team.
And when is that, by the way?
Next Wednesday at 6:30. I'm not sure what if DRB is scheduled for the 6:30. We have different time slots, but we can.
Well, we don't meet on Wednesdays anyways. We're Tuesday.
No. I'm just saying there were different time slots for different groups, but I think DRB is included in the 6:30. I'll double check and send you an email.
Great, thank you. Mm-hmm. Item C, review of agenda and projected agenda.
Okay, so there's two items today that on your agenda that will be requesting continuance, and that's E2, that's AutoZone signage. They weren't quite ready with their plans, so we'd like to, when you get to that item, if you can continue it to the next meeting, and I'll talk about when the next meeting is, and also F4 for the same reasons. So those two items, when you get there, if you could continue to the next meeting, which will be March 28th. We are canceling the March 14th meeting for lack of agenda items, so your next meeting is March 28th.
Okay, can I get a motion to continue those two items?
I so move to continue both items.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. Item D, public comment. This time the public shall have an opportunity to comment on any non-agenda item relevant to the jurisdiction of the city. Does anybody in the audience want to speak?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's different. Okay, so Seeing none, we'll close that item and move to signed calendar, item E1.
Okay. Thank you, Chair.
Can we have the Secretary read the item?
Oh, sure.
Okay, but I was going to report as to what we did and then...
She's just going to introduce it.
All right.
E1 is the Best Western Plus signage located at 5620 Cali Rio, case number 17004-DRB.
Okay, so Mary, do we need to report on what we did or just... Okay.
Yes.
We met with the applicant just a little bit ago, but unfortunately there's the signed subcommittee being composed of two persons. We were split 1-1 on this project, and so we've continued it to bring before the full board for your consideration.
Okay. In that case, has everybody visited the site?
Yes.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
I've not visited the site, but I'm very familiar with it. And no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Same.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Okay, Darrell?
Yeah, thanks, Chair, members of the DRB. So this is a request for design review. So the applicant's proposing basically the refacing and re-imaging of branding for three existing signs. Two are wall signs, one wall sign's on the south elevation, and one is on the east elevation. The third sign they're proposing for re-imaging is the freestanding sign. So all three of these signs have existing permits. These permits were approved during the County of Santa Barbara era. And so today the applicant's requesting, you know, new colors, branding, text lettering for the wall signs, and those will stay the same in terms of existing size and square footage and et cetera. The freestanding sign, the one difference here is that there's a proposed increase of 6 inches on this freestanding sign. Since incorporation, the City of Goleta hasn't approved a freestanding sign or the extension or increase of an existing height of a freestanding sign. So, and that's basically due to a few general plan policies, and those are listed in the staff report here. And basically the gist of it is that you know, these types of signs shall, you know, the city's trying to minimize possible adverse effects on signs on nearby private and public properties, for one. Two, the protrusion of signs and or structures in the skyline should be minimized to avoid a cluttered experience. And that signs shall be appropriate in quality, in color, materials, and also in height. So this is becoming before the full board for, you know, your comments, you know, regarding all three signs, but also specifically for this request for the proposed 6 inches in increased height for this freestanding sign. With that, let me hand it over to the agent here for the property owner. It's Christian Muldoon of Vogue Signs.
Thank you, Darrell. Good afternoon, Design Review Board. Basically, what Darrell said is reimaging of their existing signs. The branding centers have changed. The pitch is gone. They've gone to this type of look. What we discussed in the sign subcommittee was that, yes, there is an increase in height, but there's also a decrease in width, and the overall sign area itself is either equal or actually a little bit less than what's existing. The other thing that we discussed is that this particular sign is part of a catalog of signs that Best Western uses throughout the country. It's called a V70, and that is the replacement for this sign, which is called a NM75. That's what they used to use. This is the new branding standard. The other thing that we also discussed is that this is going to be removed. Actually, it's not going to be removed. It's going to be covered and stucco coated and painted to match the entire structure. As you see here, the old branding standard always had a gray cabinet for Best Western. The new standard, which is shown, I believe, on your drawing too, but the entire pole cabinet structure, everything, is all painted the same color. So yes, it goes in a little bit, it will be centered on there, and then it's 6 inches taller.
It will still have the step here?
It'll be actually a little bit of a bigger step.
Okay.
The old sign was 7 feet, 7 inches wide, and the new one is 6 feet, 9 inches wide. So you're going to gain, 4 inches on each side, something to that effect.
Okay.
And then the increase of 6 inches.
Okay. And there were wall signs as well that we're talking about?
Correct. Yes. The sign subcommittee can correct me, but I don't think there was an issue with the...
No. They're replacing like for like along the Kellogg Avenue side and then along on the Hollister side.
Okay.
It's the different brand, but it's the...
Oh, same spaces.
It's all the same space, and the logo is about the same size.
So at issue here is the new sign here.
Yeah.
Being this version is taller than this version.
The new version.
That's true. Yeah, correct.
What you're saying.
6 inches
right?
taller.
But the overall sign area would be the same.
Yeah.
Got it.
Well, the overall sign area would be less.
It's actually less.
Because the new one is 4.2 square feet smaller, plus they're losing the bottom part.
Okay.
Plus 32 square feet down here that's going to be eliminated on both sides.
Is going away.
Correct.
Right.
It's going to be gone.
Okay. You guys have already spoken about it. Do we have questions down this way?
Yes, I have a couple. Thank you, Chair Branch. It appears that the monument sign underneath the logo is some sort of shiny material. What is that surrounding the logo at the top of the monument sign?
Are you referring to this area right here?
Yes.
Okay. That was a question that the sign subcommittee had, whether that's going to light up or not. The drawing itself shows it being a full-color digital print. I would have to go back to the manufacturer of the sign and determine exactly, but it's my understanding that the entire thing would light up. And it appears to me it's a silverish with a gradient kind of going across, and there's a gradient right here as well. This day and age with digital printers, you can do lots and lots of things. Back in the day, you had to use real vinyl colors that were limited.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can do anything you want.
So it's a different shape than the existing sign, and it's an internally lit. So there will be, is it the current sign internally lit?
Correct.
So it's a bigger area of internal lighting.
No, less.
You'd have to explain that to me.
The sign area of the old one was 75 square feet, 74 and some change. The new one is 70.
96. I see, because you've made it narrower.
Correct.
All right. And then one other small question on the proposed sign on the, I believe it would be east facing. The new logo, Best Western Plus, with a strike underneath it, how is that rendered in 3D? I'm on sheet 3 of 4. Yeah, see, there's a strike under the word plus, and then that appears on the photo rendering. How is that actually done on the building? Because it appears that all the letters float on some sort of frame.
Correct. The older buildings weren't built as the new buildings where you have parapets and crickets and stuff to walk in. So they have to be placed on a wireway or a raceway. Like the old sign was, I don't have a picture of it, but the old sign was also on a raceway. The new sign would be on a raceway. The underscore, that is a good question. I don't have the actual construction drawings to tell you how that's going to be performed. Typically, when you have things like that down, you either do a clear piece of acrylic and then you glue it on there, similar to like bridges for an eye or something like that. You know, and you have a dot on an eye, you create a clear bridge. I'm imagining that's how that would be done, but I can clarify that with the manufacturer.
That'd be helpful. Or one could just eliminate it, but I know that's part of your branding. So yeah, those are my questions. Thank you, Chair.
Karis, do you have any questions?
No questions. I'm ready.
I was just wondering a synopsis of the subcommittee's discussion.
I guess I can take a crack at that. I kind of felt that since this sign was already pretty tall, that 6-inch increase was, I know it's minor, but it was too much. And my other concern was the white around the BW on the top, going from a dark blue internally lit sign to all that white. Tom kind of felt that the 6-inch increase was minor, and he could support that. I'm not sure how he felt about the white, though.
Well, the white, for me, didn't come out towards the end when we started talking about that in detail. But my support for the project was, it is 6 inches higher, but it was based upon, Daryl had mentioned that it could possibly set a precedence because of what the general plan says. But I looked at this as kind of a plus for us, because even though it's 6 inches higher, the main sign is less in square. It's 4.2 square feet less in size, and we're losing that 32 square feet of signage at the bottom, which I think is actually cluttering. And I would be able to support it if there was worded in such a way that lower sign never came back. That's kind of where we had our differences.
Okay, I see. Bill, do you have any questions?
No, I don't.
All right. Well, I have no questions. How about comments from any of the board members? Since we know now how.
Go ahead. I'll defer.
Deferring. You're deferring already? First.
I pass.
Check. I'm not thrilled with the squareness of the sign. The old sign has a little bit of character to it, and it looks more compatible with the other signs that I'm seeing as I drive down Cali Real that are, you know, have a lot of scroll work on them. They're not. The squareness makes it, no offense, I know you probably worked on this hard, but makes it look a little bit like a gas station, you know? And the DQ over here looks like it looks like DQ. It looks like the Dairy Queen one. Almost exactly. I mean, maybe you guys are trying to pull that out, so, I mean, I don't have a problem with that if that's what you want to do. But to make it look like a gas station on this side, I just think that's going against our thing. So I'm not too concerned with the height, and if it's 6 inches higher, that'd be fine, but I would like the shape of the sign to have some shape, either the shape it had before or a new, nicer shape or, you know, whatever, but just not the square looking like it might be a gas station kind of sign. I don't know how else to
interject
phrase that.
Oh, you have a public comment?
Yeah.
Public comment.
Yeah.
You are. Say your name for the record.
I'm John Rouse.
Mike, please, sir.
I see a green, and then it turns a brighter green. I'm a neighbor, owner of the unit behind you, a contiguous property on Kellogg. And my name is John Rouse, R-O-U-S-E. My first concern was the brilliance of the white. You talk about the square footage change. I think that the intensity of light, as you all know, a pinpoint of bright light can draw our attention more dramatically than a large dark light. And so I believe that you are also under responsibility about the brilliance of the light. I think you need to get that clarified. I don't think he knows for certain whether or not what K-value of brilliance is involved. And I think you can call that out. I wish you would, what brilliance you require, especially if there's going to be that much white. I don't want to sound anti-business, but I don't think that this community can be held hostage to a national branding policy. So you can make up the design as well as you want, as much as you want. I do think it's a DQ look. That was my first thought, and I forgot about it. Or a gas station fits it. I think you're going to create a precedence, although I think most of the signage laws in Santa Barbara, for instance, are way too stringent. You're going to start a precedence setting by adding inches. And I like the pitch of the design now because the pitch on the ceiling of the roof of this is similar to the pitch of the architecture of the building, and you lose that. And then if you can't nail down the brilliance, then perhaps you can add in verbiage that allows you to change the brilliance of it after the fact it's built, because you're not going to see the brightness of this until darkness happens, and you can't see that. Or if there's a sign in the area that we can drive by that would be reflective of the typical brilliance that to expect, that would be helpful. And let's see, three, four, color. Yeah. Just the red and the white is a disappointing design. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Comments? Do you want to start? You can start, Aaron, if you want.
Musical microphones here. Yeah, I hesitate to allow for the increase in height, although I will absolutely agree that the diminishing width and the removal of the second sign altogether is no small mitigating factor. But I'm concerned, yeah, about the precedent set. A thought in regards to the great area of white, having some experience in printing, there might be a way to change the opacity of that white so it can appear white on the outside, but with some backing material, not allow as much light through. It's just an idea on how to maybe kill two birds with one stone.
Dennis or Karis, do you guys have any comments?
Well, I'm going to be a big skeptic here. I'm just not buying that it's a smaller sign in area. It just defies everything about what I'm seeing and what I'm calculating. My strong recommendation would be to keep it within the same sign area of the existing and mitigate the brightness of the white or silvery surround through some other color or design.
Let's see. Anything else you want to add or no?
I don't
know. You're good? Bill?
Thank you, Chair. I do want to stress the importance of where this is located. This is the eastern entrance to the city of Goleta, and this is really the first prominent signage you see when entering Goleta when traveling on Kairiau from the east. I also want to note, I think if you go back and look at it, that the DRB has seen a proliferation of requests for red signage. And for me, I think an overabundance of red signage in our community becomes problematic at some point. In this case, the signage is red and excessively white, probably emanating significantly more light. I have noticed that this chain still has signage that is blue in other locations, and wonder if there's other possibilities in exploring the signs that are in their catalog. I will not be able to make a finding that this proposed version of signage is an enhancement when compared to the current sign.
Okay. I'll chime in. I, personal taste, notwithstanding, I think the new design that their corporate came up with is a step down. It looks like Dairy Queen. It looks like anything but a motel. That said, you know, that's kind of neither here nor there, but I think I agree that whatever happens, it should fit within what's there. I can't support making that bigger, and I get that it's going to be smaller, and that I think is a boon, and losing the sign below is a boon, but I wouldn't be able to support it going bigger, and I think we do need to have some mitigation as to the brightness of the white, because I think that's important. So that's my feelings. Somebody want to make a motion? Or do you want to continue?
Well, I'd like to address some of the comments.
Okay.
Let me first start by saying I cannot take any offense to what you're saying about the design, the colors, or anything. Vogue is simply going to be the installer.
Got it.
Didn't come up with the branding.
Right.
This is somebody in Texas or right. wherever that came up with the design.
Okay. Right.
So that's my first comment. Let me address the comments about the other signs that are blue. This is the first one Vogue's doing. We're also doing Pepper Tree and Encina, mm-hmm. Carpinteria. They're all going to the same look. Every Best Western you will see will eventually look like this. Now, I know you guys don't want the red or the silver. That's, again, something I cannot comment on. And this is part. That's like telling McDonald's that you don't want them to be yellow or Starbucks to be green. This is it. This is what... Now, I'm not saying that you can't change it or try to, but I can't personally comment on that, and then it's going to get into, I don't know, maybe legal stuff. I don't want to, I'm not trying to threaten you because I really don't know.
No, I understand.
But I, you know, and the shape, this is the shape that they're trying to get away from. Every new sign will have this shape.
Well, what we can't control their graphics, but what we can control is the size and illumination.
Absolutely.
Right? So what I think I'm gathering from most people here is that we don't want to see this any higher than what's already there. You know, the slope is nice, but that's their existing logo. So if the new logo is no higher than that, I think you probably have support. You know, the fact that the brightest thing you see on this sign now are these white letters down on the bottom. So now we're talking about white letters here, white letters on the bottom, these white letters up here, and this whole white background. So that's way more luminescence than we're currently talking about. So I think we need to see some sort of mitigation or you know, documentation verifying what it's actually going
to
look like.
Does it have to be a cabinet sign? Can it be something that is a little bit more classy, like something that's halo lit, that still maintains the branding theme, but isn't a one-size-fits-all in every community?
I couldn't comment because I their replacement for this sign all over the nation is this sign.
Well,
I know you guys don't, you're not every city, you're not, mm-hmm. you have your own standards, and I appreciate that as a homeowner. Okay. I mean, I live in Camarillo and live in nice area, and I don't want, you know, to be bombarded with stuff either. But getting back to branding and standards, it's kind of, somebody got paid a lot of money, not me, to come up with that design.
I'd like to make one, if I could make one more comment, regarding branding and colors. I, previous project a long time ago, a couple years ago when Target was coming in, and at the time there was some comments made that the red was too red, and I kind of took a similar stance in my opinion in saying, well, you know, this is their brand, they worked hard, it's that color, you know, some of these colors are cataloged specifically, you know, there's like Massey Ferguson red, there's Caterpillar yellow, there's, you know. And then I had to eat my words when I drove down to L.A., and as I was going through Calabasas, I looked at the Target store, and the Target logo was Tuscan Red. So it can change.
And I would support that. There are times where we have changed the sign. Lower State is a perfect example.
I kind of like what Aaron was saying about making that white area, making that backing, it was opaque.
Yeah.
I
think that's possible.
I think that'd be a classy look at night when you just see the...
And
then you'd basically just be seeing the the letters themselves, and that's not much different than what we're having, what we have here. You have an internally luminous, internally lit sign that's grandfathered in, so okay, but we're just saying don't make it taller and don't make it brighter. So
I think those are two comments that I could definitely take back to the manufacturer.
So, you know, I think
if it's
likely
part of the motion, yeah.
Can I'll second that. Oh, darn, before that.
No, go ahead, Karis.
Well, I just, we do have something to say about the shape of the sign, that signs don't necessarily they don't have to be square. I mean, we get to say that that's not a shape that's congruent with that particular neighborhood. And in this case, that happens to be the case. As you drive down Cali Real, all of the signs are shaped on the top somehow. You don't like that slope? That's fine. I don't particularly care. But I do like the idea that they're shaped, that it shows that there's some sort of thing. And in terms of your branding can fit into the shape. Or you can make a shape that suits your branding and still kind of is congruent with the other signs that are around. That's all I would add to the thing about the other things.
Okay.
Those ones I have no.
With that, someone want to make a stab at a motion?
I'll take a stab at it.
Okay.
Continue to
March
28th. On March 28th, to not increase the height of the proposed sign higher than the existing 25 feet, to study the white area around the BW to be or opaque or less bright at night, and as a suggestion, several board members feel the pitch of the Best Western, the existing sign, is preferred to the squared design of the proposed sign.
Someone want to second that?
Second.
Any discussion?
Just under discussion, I would like to request that in order to see that this is achievable, that we receive some visuals that accurately depict what it looks like at daytime and nighttime.
Yeah, I think that's a good comment.
Sure. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed?
No.
One. Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
All right, I guess that takes us to
Alan's dead.
Oh, it's
dead. So we're sharing.
Right.
You guys have three or?
I'll share with Tom. You guys can
just do that.
You can take that one. Okay, item F1.
This is for design review. Item F1 is Bartlett Building Facade Improvements located at 5940 Cali Real. Case number 17012 DRB.
Okay, declarations.
I'm familiar with the site, but did not conduct a site visit and no ex parte.
No site visit, no ex parte, although I've seen it many, many, many times.
Same.
No site visit, no ex parte.
Same.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Previous site visit, no ex parte.
Okay, Joe.
Good afternoon. So we have a request for design review for facade improvements to an existing commercial building. The existing property is approximately 3,000 square feet, located in the retail commercial zone. And the applicant is proposing to construct facade improvements, including new roof materials, cover of existing brick facade with corrugated metal siding, addition of new windows, new decorative support columns on the south elevation and increase to the parapet heights to conceal rooftop equipment on the south elevation, which should be raised by approximately 3.5 feet, and the rear parapet to be raised by approximately 2 feet to overall height of approximately 14. And at this point, I'll hand it over to the applicant to walk you through in more detail, and I'm here if you have any questions.
The floor is yours. Oh, turn on your mic there.
Thank you.
The floor is yours. Introduce yourself. And
I'm Dale Picarrick from the Fine Line, and my client, Bob Bartlett, approached me with this building saying that it's been in the same condition basically since 1969 as it began as Sambo's Restaurant. And it's morphed into many, many different restaurants and businesses since. And so he said he felt it's time for the building to get a little bit of freshness without going too crazy with tearing it down or rebuilding roofs and the like. So we're using several of the elements that are existing there, which include the major entry coverlet, and taking down some of the inset parapet walls that are there on the backside, which had shingles and shakes and the like on there. And we're cleaning it up. We're trying to do a little bit something in the nature of what's happening over there on Kyrie Allen Fairview, having a little bit of metal theme, stucco, wood, blending, little ranch, Goleta Ranch style going on. And on the elevations, and there's no actual square footage being added to the building other than on the very front of the building under the main coverlet there. It has a very extended overhang that we want to put some columns and a base and some little wood to make it look like it's better supported instead of just sticking out there all by itself. The entry into the building will remain the same as it is now. There'll be two rear entrances, but the principal main entrance, oops, there we go. Thank you. And what I've done for you here on these drawings is show you what the existing condition is here and here, and right immediately adjacent to them are the proposed, what we're looking to do. Once again, you can see that this is the main coverlet that we're looking at preserving, and then adding new columns on either side. All the windows will remain the same, bronze anodized trim, all the door entries and et cetera will all remain the same. We are introducing, when we get right here, our two new windows to the side just to add some additional light into the building, not knowing at the time what a future client would be because it's been sitting vacant for some time. Anybody please rent it, type of thing. So we're projecting what it could and could not be. Since then, somebody has stepped forward and decided to lease the building, and it will not be a restaurant any longer, at least at this time. But what we are doing on the front of the building is their existing used brick facade going along the side with a, once again, a shingled mansard-type roof, stucco going down the side underneath and returning 6 feet back into a where the window fenestration is located. What we're looking to do is doing two different styles of metal, standing seam metal roof. One is a little bit wider on the front, and along the side we're looking to do a little bit tighter on the more pitched roof. Also on the pitched roof we're looking to do a basically like a queen truss and some exposed beam here and some exposed beams at the bottom. And in recess farther back, here are vertical wood, 1x6 V-grooved wood, as well as here, here, here. And again, these brick columns are going to be faced with wood to give it a more, once again, a ranch style that we're trying to achieve in some little bit of funky contemporary blend, similar once again to what was happening over there on Kyrie Al and Fairview. On the parapet that Joe was speaking of, we're taking some of this line here and raising it up higher so we don't have a recessed mansard roof going back. It all is one clean line. We are capping it with a foam, high-density foam material, just to give it a little, instead of just being squared off at the top, and then adding a little splash of color along the top. And then this will all be stuccoed as well. On the rear elevation, it's pretty cut down. Majority of the impact are on the, I would say, the north and the east elevations. And on the rear elevation, it's pretty straightforward. The doors will remain. We're eliminating one door off the back. That was a delivery that we saw no need for. And once again, we're introducing, instead of a canopy, rounded canopy that is there now, which shows here, we're doing a little bit a flat with the bars that come down and support it. And then on the side elevation, you can see the long linear portions of the mansard roof that was there, which was stepped back about 4 to 6 feet from the face of the building. Once again, we're raising this, this element here.
I'm going to pull this down.
Thank you. Raising the face of the wall, the element, by 3.5 feet approximately, and then doing another step all as it returns into the building, so we have a little bit of undulation going up and down. And once again, then the colors will come into play and soften the entire building. That's in a nutshell. The only reason why we went this high here, we understand the code now requires that parapets have to be 3.5 feet to meet railing height. So that's where we stand. Plus the equipment that is there is going to remain. And then we'll be re-roofing the front here, and as well as the flat roof material, which nobody will see.
Okay. All right. We'll start with questions. Bill, you have questions?
Thank you, Chair. I believe I have two questions. This first one would be for staff. Is there a requirement on this project for parking lot planters in the rear based on the number of contiguous parking spaces?
Simply because it's a facade improvement, there's no requirement for that.
There's no nexus with that.
Yeah.
There would be other situations where that might
Looking at redoing the parking lot, resurfacing or kind of redoing that whole site plan, then yes.
Okay, and then the second question, thank you. The second question has to do with, would the applicant consider the installation of photovoltaics on the roof?
We have not discussed it. There could be a possibility, but I would have to bring that up to the client.
Not having a visual image of the roof, but thinking how it might be up there, that might be something that would make sense to look at. Thank you.
Okay, I kind of would like to hear a little bit more discussion about colors.
Okay, the color board is placed before you here. This lighter green patina will be, not on this drawing, of course, will be the vertical siding right over here, the corrugated siding, which runs here, and has a wainscot skirt board underneath the new window. It will be trimmed out in the same color as the vertical material itself. It will be capped off with the same. The darker green material there is going to be on the principal roof, the heavy roof over here. The lighter color, which is the bronze, is going to be this color here on the short roof, going across here, and the darker green is going to be up and over the existing A-frame style okay. canopy.
That's that green, that's the metal surfacing, or is that the trim?
That's the metal surfacing okay. itself. Similar right. to, it's been splashed here and there in the Glida area. And then once again, the base body of the building will be a tan color in this area here, and it'll be rimmed at the very top with a, what is called a true brown or coffee brown. I mean, everybody has fancy names, but that's what they are. And of course, this is a bronze anodized, which will be at the rear of the building where the doors are principally. And then at the very front, we're putting a semi-transparent stain for all any wood that we introduce into the building, including along underneath the windows and upper side over here. So it'll let the natural graining come through.
Okay. So this color here is the one that's going to be the trim across.
Principally here. All the wood all right. that we're.
And then the body of this is going to be which color again? Is that?
It is the same color because once again these are set back 6 feet.
Yeah.
From the overhang, so if we figure if we put a darker color in there, with an addition of a 6 foot overhang, it's going to make it even darker. Mm. We wanted to lighten it up just. Right.
Okay. You're saying that this
sits back 6 feet from
this and this are in plane?
No, this right here, if you look at the side profile, this right here, this edge is this in this roof here.
Right.
And then the building itself is back up in here 6 feet back.
A little clarification. This part here.
Yes.
Is that all the way out to here?
No, it's not. It's, okay. It sits right. back a good right. 4 feet.
Is, this okay. is in plane with back in
right.
here.
That's why we introduced, this was just like a large cantilever mm-hmm. just sticking out there.
Mm. Got it.
We thought it was kind of odd just to let it hang out there.
And it's still dark green in the...
In the main, the one main pitch. Mm-hmm. And you will see that, and once again, it gets hidden rather quickly, and then it just... We're not taking down the rest of the roof. We just let it run to the backside where the birds will see it.
Those were your questions.
I'm done.
Questions?
Have you actually done a color rendering of
I have not, unfortunately. I
with
was,
these colors?
No, okay. I did want to. Trust yeah. me, I was just a little bit short on time.
The sign location?
The sign location is front, and we're not proposing to do anything at this time because, once again, as this was done and submitted, we had no idea who was going to be in there, and we figured the tenant who's coming in, they're going to be addressing the sign issue based on whatever their needs are.
It's existing?
It's existing, but we, at that time, I don't think we were looking to raise it, lower it, doing anything.
Any lighting, exterior lighting?
There is some existing lighting along the side that I want to say they're the mushroom lighting that comes downward with a gooseneck and down. And we were going to leave those, and I believe they are the darker green now, which is in this flavor right there. If not, they will be made that, and anything on the project would have that same look to it. So it would be uniform.
Okay. Chair, all the questions I had have already been asked.
Okay. Karis, do you have any other questions?
Have you guys considered doing some art on the back side there, on the parking lot side, where you just have the two doors?
Haven't thought about it.
It's a big expanse.
It is a big expanse.
Let me put that bug in your ear. And be also... Nice to,
might be nice to do some espalier or something, a plant, and just let it that was grow up on the wall.
Yeah, it's the landscaping.
Sure.
You're going to take out that little square bed that's there now?
We could. We haven't discussed landscaping because we were really not looking into touching it okay. and just keeping it, you know, minimal as much as possible.
But your new...
tenant.
Sorry, not the tenant. The part that comes out, parapet?
Awning?
Yes.
Your new awning will come into that space where it is?
No. There's like a dedicated walkway entrance. Excuse me, if I could move that. Thank you. This area right here, are these the areas you're talking about here, these awnings?
Those, I thought, that would be a good place for the art.
Mm-hmm.
There, and in the back by the parking lot.
Okay.
But I was thinking in the front.
Are you talking about out in front of this here, Karis?
That protrudes outward?
In the west.
Yes.
It's a big A-frame.
Yeah, roof. That out part. You're just fixing the pillars that are there already?
There's no pillars there now. We're okay, introducing
in
the
pillars.
Yes, we are, to then and columns to support.
Where will they come then compared to where that little landscaping rectangle is?
It's going to be very close to the entryway, if I could go back to the... But it'll be not as a direct... Everything underneath it would be landscaping.
So you think you're going to keep the landscaping area?
Yes, there because the walkway and the entrance is basically a side. There's a patio. There's a patio out here, and there's a walkway along the side and a walkway in. Here, it's all landscaping all the way out in front and then some in and around the building versus is just landscaping to here, and then there's a drainage canal along here.
Yeah. So you're not really taking out any landscaping?
None.
At all?
Oh, none.
Okay, I see. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, a couple of questions. Thank you, Chair. So there are essentially two exterior materials that you're adding to cover the brick. There's a corrugated iron and a V-wood paneling.
Yes, a 1x6 V-wood.
You have to forgive me because our copies were sort of cut off and we can't see the lower portion. So if I understood from your description, the V-wood paneling is only on the street side or the south elevation that's below the windows and in the, if you will, triangle.
Yes.
Right, okay.
Correct.
And I can picture that. What I can't picture, and my question to you is, what type of corrugated iron? I mean, there's an entire catalog of how, is it the sort of wavy kind, or is it a deep corrugation, or do you?
It's the wavy. It's I want to say like an S curve. It just goes in and out, in and out, in and out.
And
very regulated.
Of say, they're about 2 or 3 inches on center.
Yes.
Yeah, that. And then could you describe these canopy materials and their construction in a little more detail than we're just given here?
Just a little rear canopy.
On
here.
The rear, yes.
Yeah, they're going to be usually a C channel or a box channel. And they're going to be made out of metal.
So they're metal.
They're metal also.
Right.
And it gives a bronze anodized, so you really can't tell the look. We could make them out of wood, you know, save money, but long-term maintenance is the best policy. So, you know, put two little canopies, put the money there, and then what it's going to be covered in, I envision, is like a latticing of flat plate that goes back and
forth. So it's solid.
Right, and then when it casts a shadow, it gives a little bit of shading to the character shading to the backside
of
the house.
Okay, those are my questions. Thank you.
Okay. I have no questions, so you want to go to comments? Bill, you want to start with any comments?
Okay, thank you, Chair. Let's see. It would be great if you would look into the solar as a business proposition, if that makes sense. I really appreciate the Goleta ranch style. I think that is an enhancement, especially when compared to a mansard roof. The standing seam metal is preferable. Yes, I'd like to say, just to be sure, would it be possible to see a visual that does incorporate the proposed colors? Would it be possible for you to provide us with a visualization that does incorporate the proposed colors, rather than trying to compare the color board to
I
points?
Know. My fault. I was hoping to do that before this meeting, but it never quite got to it. Sorry.
Okay, that would be great. Thanks.
Any comments, Tom?
Yeah. I think this is a definite improvement over what's there. I'm glad to see the shingles going away. The only thing I could support this, but I would really love to see just like Bill here mentioned, I would love to see a depiction in color.
Okay.
That's it?
Okay. I think what you're doing is great. It'll be a nice enhancement. And the style direction is good. The only comment I had, I think Karis was hinting at it, was maybe some green screens or vines or something on the north elevation.
To break up that
and
long linear
wall. There's that,
mm-hmm.
kind of narrow rectangular planter existing already.
Mm-hmm.
You could just pop a few plants. You know, maybe espaliered citrus, I don't know.
Sure.
Would really help that elevation. And if you are going to do any new lights, they should be documented on the plan.
The question on the sign just seemed like an odd place for the sign. Kind of far back there, but
it's existing.
Yeah,
we're just, you know, we don't know if the people are going to use it or will it ultimately come down.
So that's all I got.
Yeah, just a brief vote for color renderings as well. Okay. And the mural idea for the back, the north elevation.
Okay.
I'd like to see something there.
Karis?
Yes. What everyone else said. It was great. I love it. I second those ones. The color, the art, the photovoltaics, all those kind of things. But I think it's good. I think it'll be nice to have it be renovated.
Dennis?
Well, I do think this is a big improvement, and I appreciate the homeowner and you're taking the effort to improve this building. For me, there's a discordant use of the wood and the metal. I don't really understand the sort of half-exposed timber work on the facing. I don't even know what to call that, a porch. Mm-hmm. And then the use of wood framing and the new columns. And then around on the backside, you've done proposing some very nice metal canopies. Just seems to me that with the removal of the wood shingles and the adding of the very handsome standing seam metal roof, the corrugated roof, that these wood elements don't really blend together well, especially at that canopy. I just don't understand that exposed beam work at all. I would like to see on the east elevation where you're only doing up to the sill height under your two new windows, I would like to see that same height extend all the way along to break up the vertical height of the corrugated metal and make that elevation seem tie together a little better. You've done some really nice surrounds around the two new windows. I think the doors in the back could use another surround to help with the detailing of this big blank expanse on the back wall. Am I making myself clear there?
Yes.
And yes. Let's see what else. I think that about sums up my comments.
I didn't understand something you just said.
Yes, the last one.
The last
no.
one?
No, what are you talking about, the extending this?
Yes, that it should just, like a chair rail, it should extend all the way along to the left.
Oh, along the back?
No,
oh,
no.
Oh, across
over,
that?
Yes, over that.
And be so that this stops at this?
No, it doesn't stop. You just have like a reveal, Scott.
I got you.
Or,
okay.
Or a sill.
Gotcha. Okay. So you see a continuous line.
Because that.
Well, currently right now, this sticks out proud of this surface here.
Yes.
By a good 6 inches currently.
Yes.
So by facing it here, we do have a hard break line right here where this would naturally want to die into this taller. Yes. So. We could bring it out and just have a little bump out, and then when it comes around the front, we would have to bring it, I assume, out to along the front as well.
I'd be willing to back off of that. I am a little leery of using this very small scale corrugation. I would like to see something a little beefier, something a little heftier. I think that would better serve you. I'm always a little leery of that stuff because you can punch it and dent it so very easily, and you're going to have a lot of traffic along there. Be interested in your reaction to that.
I think it would make it look a little bit more used and patinaed. And
I guess I'll chime in. It is an improvement over what's there, that's for sure. I was kind of wondering about the wood thing. I think Dennis put better words to it than was pointing around in my 3%. But I guess I don't get the change in corrugation width and color for these two elements. That seems odd to me. And I agree about the metal here being, I sort of, until you said it was round, I thought this was a square a square corrugation.
Yes.
And I also wonder about it just ending there, and then when you see the rear elevation, it's, that just means it's stopped right there. There's going to be a little, I guess what we're not seeing is that metal sticking up and that little thing ending right there. And so what that termination, the detail of that, what that looks like, I'm curious to see how that resolves. And I wondered if maybe, you know, the two, when I first saw the two colors before I actually read the what these were, being the roof, I actually thought that the two colors of green were these two things. And I thought that would have been an interesting thing to have, the slight difference in the in the greens being these two elements. But
I like that. Didn't think of it. But,
So overall, I'm in support of it. I'd like to see, I agree with everybody else that I'd like to see a little bit better development of the details. And I'd really like to see the, it colored so we can kind of get a better sense of how it all plays. But I'm good with, you know, adding the parapet and this detail. I think that's all, that all works. This, that is a weird element. I don't know what you do with that. That's a tough one to solve.
He didn't want to take it down.
Maybe that's why they had reindeer out there. I don't know.
Yeah.
To take your eye off that at one point. Anyway, so those are my comments.
Can I add one more?
Sure, Karis.
I did like the landscaping idea, and I would like to see a detail of the columns. The way they're drawn right now just looks like they're just concrete, but I'm pretty sure that's not what that is. So just something to show that, and maybe the vines and stuff coming up so we see.
One thing I did not introduce into these drawings that is currently there is a hedge that sticks out, and it's about 6 to 8 feet high. That sticks out vertically.
Oh, it comes out this way?
Comes out towards us in this direction, a good 8 to 12 feet, 8 to 10 feet.
And that's to stay?
Yeah, we want to keep that.
Could I make one more comment?
Yes.
Can I borrow your pointer? I've been puzzling over this myself about the arrangement across here. And like you said, right now, this just kind of hangs out in space.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes perfect sense to have the columns here. But it's the arrangement of these elements with this, I think, that this causes a certain amount of problem. Because from a structural standpoint, if this really was supporting this, I don't think any engineer would design it to look like that. These columns would either want to come up to here and engage a truss across the top, or there would be some of these members would be coming from down here. So maybe you might want to have a look at this a little bit more as far as how it's arranged.
Well, when I was envisioning this is being the fascia line here. I was having these being immediately behind the fascia, as well as this element. But these elements run long over here where the beam sits very just behind the fascia.
I know, but this element here, this bottom cord, king post, and diagonals are kind of in plane right through here.
Correct.
Are they not?
Correct.
Okay. So if this was being designed to actually support this ridge, then this support would not be on the bottom cord, because this negates the need for any of that.
Yes.
Because this bottom cord would then create a triangle. Mm-hmm. So, but that's way too open for this. So that I'm just saying, when you look at this, look at more like an edge from an engineering standpoint, so it gives it some authenticity.
Okay.
I've always thought it was weird that was there anyway, because that's not where the entry is.
Yeah.
Tell me.
That's always bugging me.
So it never made sense to me in the first place. You're saying, hey, look at our window.
Yeah.
So
it's a nice window.
Anyway, all right, does somebody want to try a motion?
A motion for a continuance to next month And some of the changes we wanted to see was color visualization, possibly looking into art or photovoltaics, landscaping and details of the front, and the lighting. Is that everything that everyone wanted?
Okay.
And I'll second that, Chair.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? All right. We'll see you next month.
Thank you very much. Joe, you keep these.
All right, Madam Secretary, item F2, if you would, please.
Item F2 is for design review. It's the Schneider Residential Addition located at 677 Windsor Avenue, case number 17017DRB.
Mr. Chair and members, I'd like to just introduce Christina. I know you've seen her here, but she was on as a contract planner and recently got hired on full-time as assistant planner. So you'll be seeing a lot more of her.
So we can actually talk to you now. Nice.
Declarations might be in order.
All right, declarations, please.
No site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
I have not visited the site, no ex parte.
No site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
No site visit, no ex parte.
Well, good afternoon, Board. The applicant proposes to construct a new 232-square-foot bedroom and bath addition to the first story and a new 73-square-foot walk-in closet addition to the second story of an existing 2,461-square-foot residence, a new 151-square-foot roof covering the existing second-story deck, which is considered a non-habitable structure, is also proposed. The resulting two-story home would have 2,766 square feet of habitable space, and all materials used for the project will match the existing residence. And this proposal will exceed the recommended maximum floor area ratio, as stated in our inland zoning ordinance, for single-family residences, but the recommended FAR is approximately 2,491 square feet for the 8,000-square-foot lot, and the 300-square-foot total addition will exceed the recommended FAR by 275 square feet, and this exceedance is under DRB purview. And with this, we have Don Swan, the architect, and Mrs. Schneiderson.
Great, thank you.
Greetings.
Press the little button there. There you go.
Don Swan.
Greetings.
Steve Shapansky.
Start, Steve.
Well, thanks for having us. This is my first time being in here. It's quite fascinating. Not sure what to cover even in an introduction, but I think you covered most of what our plan is. Thank you for that. And what's driving this scenario is my mom lived here has owned the house since, I think, the 70s, and her husband passed away a few years ago. And it was too big of a house for just her, but she wanted company, so we moved in and have been there, but it's a little tight for my wife and my mom in the same house, if I can say that.
There's a sitcom in there somewhere.
about 14 years ago, I did a remodel for the Schneiders, and when they did, they added a master suite on, and added a second floor. We had a bedroom upstairs, and also a craft room and a bath upstairs. And so, when Steve got involved with the project, we milled it around trying to find out where room for everybody, and we've added a room downstairs for the oldest daughter, and turning the upstairs into the second master for Steve and his wife. And we went to the max as we could because of we had to add another closet on in the upstairs, and I think it's just a cover on the patio. It's the upper deck, I'm sorry. And that is basically the the part of the project. Plans speak for themselves.
Okay. So do you want to walk us through what you did on the plans?
Can I borrow a pointer, if I may?
Yeah.
The addition on the lower floor is an additional bedroom bath for the oldest daughter, and this way. And then the upper areas, the upper master or bedroom, second, the existing master bedroom is over here for Dovey. And upstairs we added the where the other bedroom and the craft room were, and a bath here. We turned that into the master and a second master suite with a bedroom. Converted this to the bath area. Added the a walk-in closet at this end, and that's Steve's closet there. So. Again, on the lower floor, this is where we added this the bedroom down below with a bath for the daughter. Access comes off the kitchen area. We shrunk the laundry slightly. And upstairs, this is where the bedroom was. This was a craft room. This was a bath. And so we just converted that to a closet. Added the closet at this end and converted that to the master bath.
Okay. Yeah. The deck was existing.
And the deck was existing, right. Yeah. But we're covering over because of the afternoon sun through the park is that direction. And so just needs to be some cover. We might have a second. I think a second afterthought of maybe putting a skylight in that roof of the deck, because we're taking away a lot of the light from that room. So we might put a couple of skylights in that roof just to give us some mm-hmm. some light to give us some shadow.
Okay.
Okay. Colors to match. Existing.
Okay.
Details, et cetera.
All right. Well, maybe I'll start with questions down on your end this time, Dennis.
No questions.
Karis?
I was just looking at the west elevation.
Mm-hmm. Rear.
Mm-hmm. And this is the backyard, yeah? Looking
from the park.
Forward. I was wondering about the new garage. Or is that the old garage?
That's the existing.
Oh, with that's no windows?
That's a bedroom.
Oh, okay.
That's this.
Okay, so this isn't new?
No, that's existing. Oh.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, my question on... The deck that's being covered over,
mm-hmm.
Is it being faced with anything besides that?
No, just left open.
All right, that's my question.
No questions.
I don't have any questions. Tom?
I don't have any. Well, the no questions.
Bill?
Thank you, Chair. Two questions, one for staff. Does the noticing to the neighbors mention that the bar is exceeded?
Turn his mic towards him.
Does the noticing to the neighbors include, does it mention that the FAR of this proposed project is exceeded?
They only get the notice, so I do not think that was told to them.
And my second question would be for the applicant. Would any of the changes to the upstairs windows affect the privacy of neighbors?
No.
That's it. Questions? Comments, sir?
I'll go back to a question for both the applicant and the architect. Did you deliberate over this FAR exceeding the FAR? It's only about 10% over. Did you labor over how you could get around that? And what was really the driving force behind your arguments?
The major issue is that we needed the extra space, number one. But there's a limitation because of the FAR, when you exceed a certain amount of square footage, you have to provide extra parking. And so I had to keep under that limit, and that's how that's how we were limited on the amount of space that we had. Otherwise, we'd had bigger closets. What do you mean?
Bigger
closets. Bigger closets.
Yeah. This is the second revision.
Well, the design seems perfectly acceptable, Mr. Swan. I have no objections to that. About the only slight comment that I would make is that the upstairs closet addition drop below the existing ridge line just to give it a little more interest. But I could be persuaded against that.
Karis? Any comments?
I'll second Dennis Whalen's comment on the more interesting roof lines in general.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment that from the time these homes were originally built, obviously the demographics have changed and we're moving more and more to an older population, and living multi-generationally is something I think we want to support, especially with one family. So I did just want to confirm you're not planning a separate entrance for the addition or a kitchenette, or so everyone's going to share, your wife and mother are going to share a kitchen. Understood. I'm just interested to hear the, besides Dennis, the other architects' thoughts on the FAR.
Okay.
I think you've done a good job. I'm okay with the FAR. One question, the railing material, is it going to be an iron or wood?
It is existing.
Oh, that railing's existing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, you have
them. Oh. Sorry about that. I didn't know.
Oh. Got it. I thought that was new. Yeah. So, that's it.
Sorry.
Tom?
Thank you. I concur with some of my other board members. The FARs are not, they're useful, they're very useful in determining overall size, but they also, they're not written in stone, and there are certain amounts of leeway. I visited the site and looked at it, and then the bulk of the addition of this is in the backyard where it's not visible from the street. I could go either way with just like Member Whalen's comments about the ridge line of the closet. I think it would benefit if it had a little bit of a lower ridge. But outside of that, I can totally support this project.
Bill?
Thank you, Chair. I guess I was just going to go ahead and address the FAR issue, because after hearing from the architects, which is really important to me, it sounds as if there's really no objections and maybe a few good suggestions. The FAR is a guideline. It should be seriously considered when it's brought to our attention that it's being exceeded. And I would just like to say, for me, I see exceptions should not be construed as the new standard for other applicants.
Mm-hmm. I agree with what everybody's said. As far as FARs go, they are a guideline, and it has to be taken into context, and there are some good-sized houses in this neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I'm familiar with this area, and there's some good-sized houses. So this is not putting it outside of what's already there. And, you know, and I agree with Bill that you know, exceeding an FAR is, you know, is a case-by-case basis. It's not a precedent. So in the context of the site plan as I see it here, and in the neighborhood as I know it, I don't think this is egregious or anything. I think it's in complete context. And I can totally support it. The only comment I had, Dennis spoke to, it really felt to me like that wanted to be a little bit lower than this, and it looks like this head height, window head height is bigger than this, higher than that, just so you can get the windows proportionally in there into this, into this, in this face. But you know, perhaps you know,
make it two sections. I can.
Yeah, I mean, you might want to look at that. I mean, yeah. Like Dennis, I could be persuaded, but I think this just feels sort of, you know, subordinate to that as opposed to...
It is set back a little bit.
A continuation. But that was the only really thought that I had, and it's not, I'm not, certainly not digging my heels in the sand on it. Okay. So, but, yeah, it's I think it's nice, and I think it seems like the board could totally support this, so... someone want to make a motion?
I'll give it a shot, Chair. I would like to make a motion for design approval based upon that the design exhibits neighborhood compatibility, even though it does exceed the FAR by my calculation, about 11%, it is well within parameters to be considered based upon other houses of the size, bulk, and scale of other houses in the neighborhood. The site layout seems to work well. I would note that that addition to the back will actually help preserve a little privacy in the backyard because the neighbor immediately adjacent to them has a two-story facade on that property line. The quality of architectural design is up to this, definitely up to the standard of the neighborhood, and it's a continuation of the style of the house. There's no landscape that was mentioned, so we're assuming it's just kind of remaining as is, which is nicely kept. And we find that it, it fits within the parameters of public health, safety, and welfare, would be protected. With the proviso that we would like the applicant to look at the master bedroom closet addition on the second floor and see if possible that it would, the overall design would benefit with a reduction of the roof line of that portion by a small amount.
As a suggestion.
As a suggestion.
Mm-hmm. I'll second that ever so brief motion.
All right, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right. That will take us to item F3. Madam Secretary?
Item F3 is design review. It's of Harvest Hill Lot 4, single-family residence, located at 900 Cambridge Drive, case number 17011-DRB.
Okay. Declarations.
Declarations for everybody?
Familiar with the site, no ex parte.
Site visit and ex parte conversation with the applicant and his wife this afternoon.
Okay. I haven't visited the site since I think one or two submittals ago, but I have been there.
Same as Scott.
Site visit since last time, no ex parte.
Site visit since last time, no ex parte.
No additional site visit and no ex parte.
Mr. Highfield?
All right. Thank you, Chair. So this is lot number 4 of the Harvest Hill Ranch development. You've been seeing a few of these over the years. And so you had first seen a concept on this when the subdivision itself was going through. So the applicant's bringing it back now for some further fleshing out some ideas here. So what's proposed is a 3,497 square foot single family residence with a 3-car garage. And there's some exterior porches that you can look at throughout there. The lot is rather large, so the floor area ratio is not not an issue here. However, it is over 3,000 square feet, so there is that requirement for a third car garage, which is proposed. I didn't have any other real comments that I wanted to bring from a staff standpoint. I've put the subdivision map there in front of it for context, but really what they would like to talk about is the architectural design underneath. So unless there's any questions for me, I can turn it over to the applicant.
Okay.
Good afternoon, Rich Ridgway, the developer at Harvest Hill, and Richard Thorne, my architect. Thanks for seeing us today. So this lot number four was probably the one that had controversy 3 years ago because it was east facing with a lot of neighbors to the directly to the east of us. And so we originally had proposed a two-level home and then pulled back to a single level home. And then this is very similar to what was proposed, although we did kick an angle into it because it had a broad face and one of the neighbors had suggested maybe bending it. So I looked at that, I thought it was a good idea. We bent it 25 degrees or 22 degrees and we added a family room. So it grew in square footage from what was looked at as very conceptually back probably 3 or 4 years ago. So we're here today, not in a final DRB request, but a conceptual one, just hoping that we all like what we're seeing, and then we'll proceed on to the next final DRB, and I'm hoping maybe a continuance today for a month and come back. I think Richard could get us to final details, colors, materials, landscape plan, and grading.
Okay.
So we have a site plan underneath, which shows the grading. One thing to point out, when you all originally saw this plan, we were under the new state guidelines about having to put retention basins to treat water before we let it leave the site. And it was somewhat problematic on this lot because we had two retention basins, one in this location just below the house and another in this location that was taking all the roof waters but also some of the road drainage. And we were taking it and putting it into the basins and then they were to be perking, then going into trench drains and then out. And when we rough graded the site, we discovered these basins were susceptible to gophers, and on the slopes, I realized it wasn't going to work. My neighbors pointed it out; they were right.
That's so, natural percolation.
Those holes start this big; they get this big. Anyway, so we did redesign, and I think you guys all saw the result of that when we were talking about lot number one, which sits over here to the south, mm-hmm. and we were able to get all of the drainage that comes off the roofs and the yards below the slopes and get them into pipes. They start at 4-inch pipes, they go to 6-inch pipes, to 8-inch pipes, and then into 12-inch pipes. And they get to the big basin at the south end of the project. So I think that was an improvement over what was potentially going to be a problem with basins on what are kind of steeper slopes.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
How did that perform 2 weeks ago?
Surprisingly well, but we have had a chance to get it vegetated. The grasses had done a pretty good job, mm-hmm. but we found some gopher holes again, and then we were not able to keep all the silt out of the roadways. I mean, sure. That's the goal,
right.
But our big basin got overwhelmed because we had 5 inches in about 10 hours.
That was the test
so
of the test.
So everything goes to that basin, okay. And that thing rose up, and then it went through the wattles, and then the silt fences, and then the sandbags, and then silty water did leave, but minimally. So I think we did pretty good. Just because we had our roads in, we had our curbs in, and everything was directed in that direction. So this would be where it would be sited on the site. I did spend some time with each of the neighbors and showed them the plans. And Bob and Karen, who live in this location right here, were concerned that we held this corner. So I originally had submitted something that shifted it a little further to the south. And then after getting with them, they were concerned. And so we went back to this. That location right there was exactly where it was 3 years ago, I think. So I'll just have Richard talk to it. It's very much in style with the others. It has horizontal siding on this one with a lot of stone, a lot of the slump block, kind of adobe looking. And anyway, I'll let Richard talk about it.
The one thing before we leave the site plan, I think, is that the angle, what it did do was for these neighbors, it kind of breaks away the big long plane. And that was really the reason for cranking the angle into it. And architecturally in the plan, it all works and functions fine. But we have basically from this level, the pad level, down to this level, which is the small flat section directly at the back, there's a 3-foot differential in height is all. So we don't have a lot of vertical height anymore as we did at one of the iterations.
Right.
We had one time we had a whole story, then we went to about 6 foot. Mm-hmm. Now we're down to about 3 feet. Hmm. Okay. Let me flip back over to plans. So it's you know, plans are quite similar in general character. You know, the design philosophy of the floor plan of the great room type house, which mm-hmm. is, of course, extremely successful these days. People really enjoy it. This one is a little bit different in that the kitchen is off to the side, and it works through the deck on this side and to the deck on this side. The deck is covered out to the face of the kitchen, and this side is a colonnade of posts, and then this is covered. This and this are break pitch, 2 and 12s. Then we move to the center of the house from here to here, which is the 4 and 12, and then we break back down to a break pitch in the front, and then we have the accent roof that comes through. So I'll show you on elevations. So it's a combination we have the slump block look with the bagged finish, which gives it kind of the adobe look, the plastered adobe look, mm-hmm. That we've used in the other homes, and that's what you see here and rendered in this form. And then we've gone to stone face introduced at this point. I'm trying to introduce a variety of roofline type treatments of the eaves, kind of like we did in the architecture guidelines when we originally set it up. So this one is a shorter eave with the fascia instead of the 24-inch longer eave, and in some cases in the other ones that you've already approved, we have the exposed rafter tails. So this one's a clean line fascia with the shorter overhang. And basically when you come in, the front of the house, as you look from here over, that soft break pitch goes all the way across the front, and then it pops up as a clear story at the entry. And that's where we then get the light that comes back into the center of the plan. And that line carries through the roof. As you look on the roof plan, you can see that it carries it back through over to the area by the kitchen. So the kitchen kind of mimics that form on the backside that's coming out the front. So materials, basically horizontal siding with the stone on the accent, larger walls. This is that front bedroom line where it turns. That gets the tall stone, and in the back we did the stone again. And then along the base of the building is where I'm using the sort of the adobe look, putting the foundation of adobe look with the stone coming up out of it in some cases. And it is a tuck under garage. So this particular elevation, again, it's real simple wood siding. This is that roof I was mentioning with the balcony under it. Again, because the foundation is the slump, this is all slump, mm-hmm. and then we turn to the stone as we come up and get to the upper levels. And this is the streetcar garage that occurs at that point.
And so this is the area where you talked about the finished floor in here is like
three feet above the grade line.
The grade
at the back.
Right out here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, this line right, basically this line, this doesn't show up too well on this particular print, but mm-hmm. this line yeah. right here is the grade line, mm-hmm. and the floor line, of course, is up yeah. here at the deck.
And here's where it bends away.
And that's the family room that bends at that point. Yeah. yeah.
You can mm-hmm. see the eave go back
right.
that way.
You got
okay,
it.
Got mm-hmm. it. Yep. Okay.
Detailing very similar to the other houses where the trim, sills, and all of that, the architectural character will be consistent, kind of which we're carrying through as a theme throughout each of the homes.
Okay. All right. I have a speaker slip here from Bob Dick.
Okay.
This is just kind of a some thank you comments, actually. My name is Bob Dick. I'm representing my wife, Karen, and myself. We own one of the properties that borders on the eastern edge of lot number four. Rich has pointed that out already. As neighbors of the Harvest Hill development, we've been involved in the DRB meetings regarding this development since they began in September of 2012. I've got all the notes and stuff like that since just about every meeting. We've appreciated the DRB's consideration of our input since that time, which is just about every time we've been here. Well, one of our greatest concerns has been the drainage plan for certain lots on the eastern boundary. Rich has shown us the current drainage plan, which he just described to you, and it has the appearance of resolving the problems that we saw in the original plan. We really appreciate the City of Goleta and Rich making these changes. We've recently had several meetings with Rich regarding the house on lot number four, and we very much appreciate his working with us to address our concerns. And so, not a negative note here.
We're not used to that, so I don't know how we're going to really handle that. But
I'm not sure how Brian's going to handle it. I think. Okay. Well, thank you all.
All right. Questions from the board? Do you have any questions, Bill?
Thank you, Chair Branch. As included in our packet was the architectural guidelines for the Harvest Hill Ranch, and there are a significant number of citations that refer to the design review board. If a lot owner wants to change, let's say, the body or the accent colors, does that go to the DRB or your HOA?
We don't have an HOA. And then I am the declarant, I guess, that would be bringing anything forward to you as a board. And so is your question, if one of my buyers years down the road wants to change the colors?
Yes, when I look in the citations, it refers to different things that will require DRB review.
We have a loose formation of owners, not formally in a homeowners association, but because we have private driveways, we have what we call a road maintenance agreement, but we have also, they will form a loose group where if someone wants to make an addition, they'll come to the neighbors. Their own neighbors, not neighbors in the neighborhood, and they would propose something. Colors, I'm not sure if I covered that in the guidelines long term, if that's your question.
And I just picked that as just one example because that was one of the things as I was going through this that was a citation referring to the DRB, and I was just wondering if that was just originally that we make sure that it meets these guidelines, or at a later point the DRB might be asked to step in to ensure that the guidelines are maintained. Just wondering how that is enforceable or enforced by whom as we go into the future.
If I might just make one comment, when I put those together, the intent was to get the guideline as to what the community should look like, how it should be preserved, and we knew we weren't going to probably end up with an HOA. So we would hope that the jurisdiction, in this case Goleta, would step up through the review process to take into consideration those kinds of things that would be significant enough to warrant having to come to the city. But if someone was just going to paint, then like Rich is saying, that's, you know, the group getting together and saying, yeah, we all like it.
Well, I think that also could be applicable if somebody farther down the road, say, wanted to do an addition.
Yes. Well, that would come back to you.
And that would come back here for sure, because that's a requirement for you guys to get involved.
Would there be any, I know it's kind of a loose, like you said, there's no real HOA per se, but would there be like advance notice to the other, above and beyond what goes through with the City of Goleta? Would there be some inter-Harvest Hill the grapevine only thing that they would get together right. to see if it
I don't know guidelines. If there's some kind of mandate legally for them to get together.
Okay.
Other than they do have to take care of their road, mm-hmm. they do have to take care of their retention basins, mm-hmm. and they do have to take care of their fire okay. suppression.
I was just
annually, there's a check on the backflow. So they have some responsibilities that link them together. If someone were to do an addition, there certainly are those strict guidelines that they need to stick to. And hopefully when they come back for any kind of addition with you, you would say it must be consistent with the style of the home that you're, you know, adding on to. So I don't know if that answers your question.
I guess from a staff standpoint, the only thing I would add is, so it's important to remember that this subdivision is an R1 subdivision. It's not something like a PUD or more of a dense type development that has a development plan that, mm-hmm. you know, would really be the parent document for that subdivision. That said, there are CCNRs that were approved with the map. As an attachment to the CCNRs, what were those architectural guidelines? So there is some, I'm not a lawyer, but there's probably some binding aspect to that as the fact that they're an attachment to the CCNRs. As far as your original question about that, typically in an R1, a repaint would not come to the city for a permit, just simply because there's nothing in the ordinance that would require it. It's not a development per se. However, like Vice Chair Smith was saying, if it was a part of a larger permit, like an addition, then certainly colors would be under the purview of the DRB.
So if it was, say, in the future, somebody did an addition and they came back before the board with those plans, okay, let me back up. Just doing an addition to the first floor, especially if a property is not exceeding its FAR, would not necessarily trigger design review.
No, not automatically. Yeah, the standard design review board criteria for projects that come to the board would still apply. Yeah, so if it was over 750 square
but
feet, for instance, it would come here. Yeah, if it was less than that, then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then where does the Harvest Hill design guidelines come into play for something like that?
It doesn't, as far as the city's concerned. I think, you know, for as far as the residents are concerned, they're bound to their CCNRs.
Okay.
The city would only get involved if there was a development
okay.
application
but their
required.
CCNRs would cover something like that.
Yeah, I haven't read them in a while,
okay.
actually, right. but theoretically,
But
yes.
the guidelines are part of the CCNRs.
Yes,
okay.
they're part
so
of
the they're bound to
yeah.
stay
they're
with the style.
Right.
Right. All right.
Yeah. And not to bring everybody down, but we went through those, mm-hmm. and so
right.
we're kind of supposed to be talking about this.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I
not
understand.
To digress.
I know we reviewed the CC. We reviewed the design guidelines.
Right. So, and I mean, no questions at this point from you guys?
I have no questions.
If
I didn't mean to supersede Bill, if you have.
A small question about this really wonderful drainage plan. It appears on the east part of the boundary. It looks like a long slot drain. Can you point that out?
Trench drain here, whatever.
Yes. That appears to be, 14 feet or so below the drain in the driveway. How does that work?
Well, if there were a blockage of the drain that drains all the way to the basin on
yes.
the south, then there would be an overflow to a pipe and then down into a trench drain
yes.
that would disperse any of that equally along contour for probably 50 feet or something.
Something of a French drain
yeah.
down there.
It's buried right. underground. It's wrapped in right. a fabric.
So
it's in a gravel bed.
It's a safety valve.
So it'll bubble up through
them.
And disperse evenly mm-hmm. is the concept. Hopefully it never gets engaged.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but it's your safety
yeah,
valve.
It's our safety
And then
safety
if I understand
valve.
The grading plan correctly, the house is actually below the parking area.
Yes.
So and there's a retaining wall along that portion
yes.
of the house. And then are those large boulders there, the yes. sort of round figures?
Yeah.
And that's the dependency to keep it back?
Yes, and we've built a lot of these little sandstone walls already on site,
yes,
and they look great.
Work.
And so it's about 3 feet tall. So,
just,
that would be rather than doing an engineered
wall,
we like just stack the boulders. It looks
when
good.
I looked at the west elevation, it's sort of misinterpreted. It looks like you're looking up at the house when actually
yes,
you'll be looking
down.
Looking down
about
the
3 feet, 3.5 feet.
I wrestled with drawing a horizontal line across there. And decided, no, it'd probably be hard to read.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Yeah,
that's all my
the
questions.
Floor lights, the parking.
You want to continue on with any comments?
Sure. I've become a fan of Mr. Thorne. I really like your floor plans and layouts. I think you're a late era Cliff May. This, like the other houses in the tract, I think are quite handsome. And I look forward to strolling around, if that's possible, when they're all
welcome
finished.
Welcome to.
Look at them.
Thank you. Karen?
Yes, I also like the drawings and the visualizations. They're very nice. And my only thing is when you do get to the landscaping, maybe to, again, break up that straight shot slope. That's nice.
Aaron?
Before the public comment, I was remembering previous meetings going to say that it's been repeated by the neighbors several times, and you yourself have said it without me being able to check, that you're checking in with the neighbors proactively. I appreciate that. You know, it's nice to hear positive comments, not negative ones. And, you know, this is something the neighbors in particular are going to have to live with for decades, hopefully. And better to, make an adjustment on a drawing than put a shovel on the ground and change something. So I appreciate that very much.
Thank you.
Nice work. Looking forward to seeing the landscape plan. But everything looks great.
I'd like to echo everybody else's comments. And Richard, I've seen your work, obviously, as you know, for a million years. You do great floor plans. Your layouts are always really, really nice. You can envision what it would be like to live in that place. And you've addressed all the issues with the site really well. It's nice. I have nothing but positive things to say. So. That said, you guys came for conceptual comments.
We did.
And that kind of stuff. So we're looking for a continuous. Oh, you wanted to be continued?
I'd like to continue to the March 28th date if possible. And so we'll come back with colors, materials, details,
okay.
Lighting plan. So okay. Show where the lights are because I'm working with Bob and Karen. So, you know, I have to do what I need to do by code, but I don't want to put big floodlights out in the back. And
right.
So I've agreed with them that we're going to do the minimal by code to light it and not have the ability. I mean, if somebody came back years later and got up and rewired something, then they understand. But
right.
I'm going to try to make it hard to do, and there's really no need to do that.
Right.
Okay.
And then I'll have a landscape plan because Martha from Arcadia is working on that.
Okay, great.
And I'll have a grading plan. And so one thing I talked with Brian briefly about, and he kind of pointed me to the building department, and the hope is that I could get this grading, as well as lot number one's grading, accomplished sooner than actually pulling a building permit for the house construction. Because I'd like to get my slopes stabilized, planted, irrigated, and established before next year's rains and the drains in.
Yeah.
Because even though things worked, I was nervous every night when those storms came, and I would go walk the line and check, did I get a blowout, you know.
Yeah.
So I can take care of that if I'm allowed to separate the grading from the actual house and the house construction and plan check process and bringing in the structural engineers and the energy consultants. All that takes much more time. My grading plans are done.
All right.
And so I would submit those through building, and hopefully after the rains I could get started on getting those slopes in.
Okay.
My understanding is for us to come back to final, if I give you the architectural details, the full-on detail sheets like you've seen before
right.
for the house, and the basic plans, elevations. If I don't have the structures, I don't put the other stuff in that. You don't need
structures
those anyway.
Don't need, no.
So we'll just leave all those out of the, no, do a slim, do a slim package.
For us, it's architectural details, lighting.
Yeah, yes. And that's why we think we can be okay for the 28.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. All right, want to make a motion for that?
Well, I'd like to make a motion for continuance to the March 28th meeting, March 28th meeting, and that the board pretty much uniformly endorses and loves the design. Do we need to make anything about the grading?
No, that's a building and safety thing.
Okay.
No. All right, somebody want to second that?
I'll second, Chair.
All right. Discussion?
The only thing I'd like to say is I look forward to seeing, based on the stuff that we've seen so far, I look forward to seeing the rest of the project as it comes up.
Yeah.
We really only have one more to go with you guys. It's lot number 3, and we'll come on March 28th. I'll get with you. It'll be another conceptual shot at the last house.
He just got to see the finished product today.
I'm looking forward to seeing how the stable gets redone.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun.
All right. With that, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
I'll see you
guys.
Thank you.
Night.
That takes us to item G, announcements by members. Anybody have any announcements? No? Aaron?
A procedural note. Mary, did we actually vote to approve the minutes?
I think we did.
Yes, you did.
I think we did.
Yep.
I abstained from it.
We did a change, but...
Well, as
it was all in one.
Noted. Yeah, that we
understood.
Brought the two. Yep.
Did you have an announcement? No? Okay. With that, we are adjourned. Thank you.
For you, in simple words, I'd let you know.